Now we're turning to the Acts of the Apostles this evening, as we want to consider another one of the Lord's disciples, one of the Master's men. Now before we do that, let us seek the Lord's help now, and let us draw near to him in prayer. Most gracious Lord, we're glad that we're in the Lord's house tonight. And we're glad, Lord, that thou hast promised to be here amongst us. And we pray that indeed we will know the presence of the Lord. There'll be no doubt about it, that God has indeed come and stood amongst us this evening. O Lord, take up thy truth. May the Spirit of God apply the truth of the Word to every waiting heart. And once again, Lord, we pray that thou would grant us a glimpse of our Savior. For we ask all these things in his name, and always ascribing to the Lord Jesus the praise, the honor, and the glory. Amen. Acts chapter 1, there in verse 13, we have once more the names of the Lord's disciples. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room, where abode both Peter and James and John, and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew. The disciple we want to consider this evening is named next. He's ninth in the list, and he remained ninth in the four lists that we have in the Gospels and here in Acts. James, the son of Alphaeus. Then there is Simon Zelotes, and Judas, the brother of James. James, the son of Alphaeus. Now in our series, The Master and His Men, we want to turn tonight our attention to one of the lesser known disciples of the Lord, namely James, the son of Alphaeus. Indeed, those five words, James, the son of Alphaeus, are more or less all that is written about him in Scripture. In fact, you notice there two of the words are in italics. And so we find that there is but three words in the line, James of Alphaeus, which gives us even less information about this particular disciple. And so we might say, what can we possibly learn about this James, since so little is written about him? So little that it may cause some to think, well, why is his name included at all, since all we have of him is James of Alphaeus? Why is his name there at all? This fact that James of Alphaeus is included with all the other disciples demonstrates for us the place that not only this James had with the other disciples, but it demonstrates for us the place that this James had in the heart of his Savior. Others may overlook this James of Alphaeus because there's nothing written about him. There's nothing written about anything he did or anything he said. Three words. James of Alphaeus. Is basically all we have. And while others may have overlooked him, while others may wonder why his name is still there here in Acts, yet we find that this teaches us that this James of Alphaeus had a place in the Saviour's heart, as well as a place amongst his disciples. Others may not have mentioned the name of this obscure disciple, and yet the Lord was pleased to choose him, was pleased to call him to be one of his disciples, and includes him with all the rest. His name is there with the other James, son of Zebedee. His name is there with John, the beloved disciple. His name is there with Peter. His name is there with Andrew, the soul winner. His name is there with Thomas, and his name is there with Philip and Nathaniel, and Simon, the zealous disciple. His name is there, even though basically that's all we have is his name. This reminds us also, of course, that while we and many of us may feel like this James, insignificant, obscure as far as the world is concerned, yet the Lord has us in his heart. James's name is here written in Holy Scripture. Four times over we have the words James, the son of Alphaeus. And dear child of God, we may not have our names written in the pages of Holy Writ, but we have our names engraved in the palms of our Savior's hands. And our names are on his heart. And our names are written down in glory, because our names are there in the Lamb's Book of Life. We are precious to the Lord, just as this James was precious to the Lord. Now, there may not be much more written about him in Scripture, yet it is surprising what we can find out about this James, the son of Alphaeus, when we look beneath the surface of Holy Writ. When we study the Word, it's surprising what you will find. And the first thing I want to consider tonight regarding this James, the son of Alphaeus, is James the person. What can we glean from Scripture about this person, James, the son of Alphaeus? As we have pointed out, very little is written about this man. There's not even one word of his recorded in the Bible. Nothing that he ever said is recorded. We can read the words of Peter and the sons of Zebedee, namely James and John. We have their words recorded. We can even read the words that Philip spoke, and Thomas, and Nathaniel, and Andrew. Indeed, apart from Simon the Zealot, whom we considered last week, James the son of Alphaeus is the only disciple. The only disciple whose words are not recorded in the Gospels. Here we have then, first of all, his silence. The silence of James, the son of Alphaeus. As far as anything which James said in his ministry, the scriptures are silent. As far as the sermons he preached, none of them are recorded. As far as his conversations with his master, we are not privy to them. So here we have James. You could call him the silent disciple. This, of course, is in stark contrast to the other James, the son of Zebedee. You remember the name that the Lord gave to James and John, the sons of Zebedee? Called them Boanerges, the sons of thunder. You would hardly consider James the son of Alphaeus, the son of thunder. Because we do not have any of his words recorded in the scriptures. Instead, when we look at James, the son of Alphaeus, silence. And yet, you don't have to be a Boanerges to be an effective witness for the Lord. There are a number in scripture who were effective witnesses for the Lord, and yet there is no record of anything that they said. Let me give you one example. The brother of Mary and Martha, Lazarus, was a great soul winner. And yet there's nothing recorded of anything that Lazarus said. You turn with me, please, to John's Gospel, chapter 12. John, chapter 12. And in John 12, verse 9, we read these words, "Much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there. And they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death." Verse 11. "Because that by reason of him," Lazarus, "many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus." Because of Lazarus, many believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet there's not one word spoken by Lazarus that is recorded in the Gospels. He's a silent witness. His life told for Christ. Lazarus was filled with the life of Christ. And people believed on the Lord Jesus through the witness of Lazarus. Indeed, look carefully at that, the words of verse 10 again. "But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death," verse 11, "because that by reason of him many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus." And so Lazarus didn't even witness these Jews believing on Christ. They went away and believed on him. Lazarus didn't even know anything about it, because the Jews went away and believed on Christ. And they believed on Christ through the witness of Lazarus. His life told for Christ. And through the life of Lazarus, many believed. You know, dear child of God, when your life is filled with the life of Christ, when you live that Christ-like life, there's no telling how many souls your life will win for the Savior. Only eternity will reveal how many souls your life, your silent witness, won for the Lord. We mentioned some time ago about Duncan Campbell and how a studenthood of a university where Duncan Campbell was ministering and speaking saw Duncan Campbell one day walk across the yard of the university, and he was struck by this man. And he said it wasn't his face, because he was looking at his back, but there was something about him. And that student went on to relate how he came to know Duncan Campbell's Savior, just through how Duncan Campbell conducted himself. His life told for the Lord. And on that occasion, it was a silent witness, because the young student wasn't sitting under the ministry of Duncan Campbell. He just looked upon his life. If you and I live a Christ-like life, and the ungodly see us, who knows how many hearts will be challenged and how many lives will be changed by our silent witness for the Lord. Someone has said the ungodly may never read a Bible, but they'll certainly read the life of a Christian. And if they read the life of the Christian, they read the life of you and me, may they read about Christ there. So you have his silence. Then we're told something about his stature. A low few details are given with respect to James, the son of Alphaeus. Yet one fact is stated that is not revealed about any of the other disciples: his stature. Turn with me, please, to Mark 15. Mark chapter 15. And there in Mark 15, and verse 40, we read, "There were also women looking on afar off," this is at the cross, "among whom was Mary Magdalene, and Mary, the mother of James." But it doesn't end there. "Mary, the mother of James the less, and of Joses and Salome." And so here is another name that this James, the son of Alphaeus, obtained. He's called James the Less. The word less there means little. James the Little. He's maybe known as Little James. And the word has reference to someone who is small of stature. James the Less, or Little James. So here we have a reference to James's physical features. He's James the Less in appearance. He was a small man. So that when the scripture speaks about and says there were giants on the earth in those days, you know that the reference wasn't to men like James, the son of Alphaeus. He was a little man. He certainly wasn't a Saul, first king of Israel, who stood head and shoulders above his brethren. He was more of a Zacchaeus. a little man. Nevertheless, this is the point. Nevertheless, the Lord called them and made them one of his disciples. So this James of Alphaeus is also James the Less, yet he was a disciple of the Lord. You see, the Lord overlooks, doesn't really take into account our physical appearance or our physical features. That really doesn't matter a thing to the Lord. After all, did he not choose Moses, who had an impediment in his speech, to be Israel's great leader? He chose Moses, who had this physical disability. He chose Paul to serve him, who it is believed suffered from a disease of the eyes. Paul was chosen. The Lord didn't say, well, this man, Paul, this Saul of Tarsus, has this disability. I can't call him to be an apostle. No, that didn't matter a thing to the Lord. Lord used him, called him to be that great apostle that he was. Jonathan Edwards. Jonathan Edwards was called by the Lord to serve him. Jonathan Edwards was called to be a great preacher. Even though he was so short-sighted, he could hardly read his sermons. Who would have thought of calling Jonathan Edwards to be a preacher? His eyesight was so bad, as was said, he couldn't read the words on his notebook. But what a preacher he was. George Whitfield. George Whitfield had a squint in his eye. And like James the Less, they gave a name to George Whitfield. They called him Dr. Squintum, because he had this squint in his eye. But the Lord called him, chose him to be one of his servants. David Brainard, Robert Murray McShane, young men who suffered ill health most of their young lives. Both of them died in their 30th year. Brainard, a missionary, evangelized the Indians. Robert Murray McShane, the great preacher of St. Peter's in Dundee. Men who were weak physically, but God called them to be his disciples. Physical ailments and shortcomings are no barrier to the Lord. For he is able to take any man or woman, whatever their physical makeup, he's able to use them to spread the gospel and to extend the kingdom of heaven. How many of God's aged servants are invalids tonight, and cannot get out of their homes to attend the house of God, but they have a ministry at home. They have a list of people they pray for. Speaking to a lady the other day, and she told me that's what her mother does. Because of her physical weakness, she's unable to get out to the house of God, but she has a list of people that she prays for every day. There's a ministry. You have James the Less in his appearance. He's James the Less, perhaps in ability. As we have said, there is nothing at all written about what James either said or did. He perhaps did not accomplish as much as the other disciples, the better known disciples, I don't know. But just for the very fact that nothing is written about his work or his words, perhaps it was because he did not have the same ability that the other James had, or John, or Andrew. In many ways, this James lived in the shadow of the other James, the son of Zebedee. And you know, believer, not many people are willing to do that. Not many are willing to play second fiddle. But this James was willing to do that. We have seen that in our churches in North America. Someone perhaps in a particular area wants a free Presbyterian church in that area. And they do all they can to get that work established, to invite friends in. And they hire a hall perhaps, or see about a building or some accommodation, start the meetings. Different ministers come and minister to them, sent by the presbytery. And then someone comes along who's the permanent minister. And the man who had started the work and helped to get it going, now I must sit down and let the minister do the preaching and the minister lead the services. And we have found over and over and over again that some of those men are not willing to do that. They get used to standing up at the front. They get used to being the main person in the work. And they didn't like playing second fiddle. They didn't like laboring for the Lord in the shadow of the man who had been called there or sent there. And so they leave. They want the place of prominence, not James. James served the Lord in the shadow of James, the son of Zebedee. You'll find his name in Matthew and in Mark, and you'll find his name in Luke, and you'll find his name here in Acts. And he's always in the same place. Always coming after the other James. I don't know what his abilities were, but maybe he was James the less as far as ability was concerned. But the Lord had a place for him in the ranks of his disciples. See, I'm reminded of the words of that hymn, "Little as much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you go in Jesus' name. Little is much when God is in it." Then you have his Savior. His stature and his silence. And I cannot help when I look at James the Less to think how grateful James the son of Alphaeus must have been that the Savior was pleased to choose him, whose name was James the Less, whose name was Little James. The Lord didn't overlook him. This little man. Rather, the Lord chose him. How grateful James, the son of Alphaeus, must have been that he found the place, that he was given a place among the Lord's disciples. He was not a Boanerges like the other James. He was not as bold as Peter. He was not a soul winner like Andrew was, at least as far as the record of Scripture is concerned. Yet the Lord thought upon him and saved him and called him to serve him. He must have served the Lord with great devotion and gratitude. You know, believer, you and I are no different. No different from James the Less. For what were we before the Lord saved us? Indeed, what are we now? Yet the Lord was pleased to choose us and call us to be his disciples, his servants. Would that not then lead us to serve him with the same gratitude and the same devotion and the same love? For the Lord always showed an interest in those that others would have passed by. He was interested in the impotent man at the pool of Bethesda. But the Lord Jesus looked on him. He had lain there, he had been had this affliction for over 30 years. He hadn't a friend to help him into the waters at the pool of Bethesda until Jesus came along. And Jesus looked on him. The Lord Jesus showed an interest in that man. He was interested in the two blind men who sat by the wayside begging, Bartimaeus being one of them. And when they cried out to the Lord, why the multitude tried to hush them up. The Lord is more important to people to attend to than you two men. But we read that Jesus stood still. And the Lord Jesus attended to the needs of Bartimaeus. He's interested in those that others would pass by. He was interested in the lepers. Why others would have walked down another street if they saw a leper coming. But the Lord Jesus was interested in the lepers. And he was interested in James the Less and made him one of his disciples. Believer, he's interested in you and me. We may apply that word to our names as well. The less. We may feel we don't have great ability. We may feel that we're unimportant. But the Lord has a work for us. The Lord has a place for us amongst his disciples. Just as he had a place for James. We have James the person, and then we have James and his parents. We can see that James came from a blessed and a godly family. We're told, of course, that he was the son of Alphaeus. Here we see the father of the home. The father of that home where James, the less, little James was brought up. Alphaeus means leader or chief. And so Alphaeus, the father of James, was a leader. He was a leader in the home. That's what a father is to be. A leader in the home. And it would appear that James followed his leadership. James became one of the Lord's disciples. The father is the head of the house. He's to lead his house in the paths of righteousness. Abraham was a leader. You turn, please, to Genesis 18. In Genesis 18, we read in verse 19, the Lord said of Abraham, for I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him. He's a leader. And they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, and that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. I know him. He will command his children and his household after him. In the list of the disciples, in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and Acts, this James is always referred to as James, the son of Alphaeus. Never anything else. Four times, James, the son of Alphaeus. And you know, whenever you think of it, this James certainly honored his father. For he's always James, the son of Alphaeus. Everybody would know him as James, the son of Alphaeus. Everybody would know him. They would say, there goes Alphaeus' boy. And as they would see him as one of the Lord's disciples, those who would have been sympathetic to the cause would say, as some might say today, my, didn't young James turn out well? Doesn't young James bring honor to his father? Isn't young James a credit to his dad? He's James, the son of Alphaeus. And just as the father is to be a leader in the home and a leader in the family, so the children are to honor their parents, just as this James did. Ephesians 6 verses 1 and 2. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. There's something else. Something else we should note here. James had followed his father, Alphaeus. His name means leader. James had followed the leadership of his father. But when he was called and chosen by the Lord, he had to leave his father, and now he was under the leadership of the Lord. This, of course, is one of the sacrifices the disciple of the Lord must make. You recall in Matthew 4, when the Lord Jesus was going by the Sea of Galilee, and there he saw the sons of Zebedee. And we are told in Matthew chapter 4, and going on from thence, verse 21, he saw two other brethren, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother. And the ship was Zebedee their father, mending their nets, and he called them, and they immediately left the ship and their father, and followed him. That's a big sacrifice. That's a big wrench, having to leave your father and follow Christ. James, the son of Alphaeus, had to do the same thing. He had followed the leadership of his dad. Now I must follow the leadership of Christ. The Lord Jesus was now his leader. So we have noted something about his father in the house. But then we want to notice there was also another follower in the house. Matthew and Mark informs us that the mother of James was a follower of the Lord. We'll turn to Mark 15. And in Mark 15, in verse 40, there were also women looking on afar off, among whom was Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James the Less, and of Joseph and Salome, who, that is referring to the women, who also when he was in Galilee followed him and ministered unto him. Mary, the mother of James the Less, was a follower of the Lord Jesus. And not only a follower, but we're told she ministered unto him. My, what an example. In the home of James, the father a leader, the mother a follower of the Lord Jesus. One who ministered unto him. That was the example that was set in the home. And that was the example that James followed. Because James, her son, not only followed Christ and ministered unto him, he also ministered for him. James was called to be a minister of the Lord Jesus. And this James did exactly as her mother, as his mother did. Oh, that all our children would be followers of Christ. And that we would set such an example before them that they will want to follow our Savior. And sometime, somewhere, they will pray, Lord, save me and make me one of thine own. Come and save me as thou hast saved my mum and my dad. And then finally we see James and his perseverance. We are introduced to James in Matthew 10 verse 3. First time we read his name. He's there, as we have pointed out before, he's there in ninth place. Amongst the 12. Matthew 3 verse 18. He's still in the same place. Luke 6 and verse 15. He's still in the same place. Acts 1 verse 13. James the son of Alphaeus is still in the same place. Here we have his loyalty to the Savior. Because you see, between Matthew 10 and Acts 1, a lot of things happened. During those 3 years or so, a lot of things happened to the Lord's disciples. A lot of things happened to the Lord. But when we get to Acts 1 and verse 13, James is still there. There's his perseverance. But I want to point out one of the things that did happen. It's recorded in John chapter 6 and verse 66. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered them, have not I chosen you 12? And one of you is a devil, referring, of course, to Judas Iscariot. For the next verse says, he spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. For he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. But the point is this. It says many of the Lord's disciples went away, walked no more with him. But James the Less stayed. He may have been little James. He may have been James the Less. He may have been an obscure disciple. He may have been a disciple that we know very little about. But this one thing we do know, he remained loyal to his Savior and to the cause of Christ. He's still there. When others left and abandoned the cause, James was still there. That's what we need, isn't it? We need that stickability. We need the spirit of James, the son of Alphaeus. He was loyalty, and we see that he lasted. We can see from our text that the son of Alphaeus lasted the course, even as Paul did. Because you see, his name is not mentioned again after Acts 1:13. James is there. He has kept the faith. He has finished the course. Oh, he may be one of the more obscure disciples. But my, we can commend this little James. He stayed the course. And just like Paul, there is laid up for him a crown of righteousness. He's received his crown. This faithful servant of the Lord. May the Lord give us all the spirit of James the Less. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our dear Lord and loving Father, we thank Thee for the lives of these men. We thank Thee, dear Lord, for men who surrendered their all, who left family and friends and home and possessions to serve their master. O gracious God, as Thou didst make them a channel of blessing, make each one of us a channel of blessing, a channel, Lord, through which Thou dost work and move. We ask Thee that Thou will grant us also that stickability, that perseverance, to carry on and go on with God and go through with God. Lord, do answer prayer. Work in our hearts, we pray, this year. Make it a good year for us as a church. Make it a good year for us as individuals. Lord, answer prayer. Be with us now as we part the one from the other.